Welcome back to another episode of Tabletop Crowd. I'm your host, Kristen, and today I am joined by Craig, and we're going to be talking about Secrets of the Vibrant Isle, which is a solo tabletop RPG about exploring a fantastical island. Thank you so much for joining me, Craig. Can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and just an introduction to the game?
Sure. I'm Craig Campbell. I'm the owner of Nerdburger Games. Secrets of the Vibrant Isle is a departure. It's like trying something new. I keep challenging myself and doing different things rather than just like finding one thing and just kind of building off of that same system. But basically, it's a solo RPG. It's for people who, when you don't have the time to get together with a group of people, you got, you know, a shorter amount of time maybe, or just can't get everybody together, or you just want to sit back with a snack and a drink and just kind of have a little adventure. So it, like you said, it's built around the idea of your character having shipwrecked on an island that is mysterious and colorful and also has some dark spots in it. And you go about exploring that island and ultimately meeting the inhabitants of the island as well and befriending them and seeing if you can earn a way to stay on the island, because the island being all mystical and magical and everything doesn't let just anybody stay. So you have to kind of prove yourself that you are worthy to remain on this strange place. So it's sort of a cross between like a relatively rules light traditional RPG and sort of a choose your own adventure kind of book. There's a lot of, you know, you'll make a lot of choices and that'll send you to a lot of different little explorations on the island.
So is there, I know some solo RPGs you play through once, and although it's a great experience, there's not a lot of replayability. Do you think that because it's like a choose your own adventure that you could play this game more than once?
There's a number of ways to play. You can play kind of what I call like the short play is you kind of treat it like an adventure game and you're going to roll dice and keep track of things on your character sheet. And you're eventually going to, you know, try to hit the win condition, so to speak, the, you know, the end condition of being able to stay on the island. And you can play that in about a, you know, depending on how quick you are to write stuff down and roll dice and everything, you can play that in a couple hours. There's also options described for if you wanted to journal the game as you go, you can use everything in the game as sort of writing prompts for creating a journal of your character's experiences on the island. You can map the island as you go. There's other ways to increase your play time to 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, however many hours, depending on how in depth you get with mapping and journaling. And so as far as replayability goes, then the hope is that you can play it a few different ways. There's a lot of different explorations, like the encounters in the game are called explorations. There's 90 of them. So you could potentially only, you know, encounter 20 or 30 per time that you play. And eventually you'll start to repeat, but eventually, you know, there's always something more to find. And then also as you play, one of the centerpieces of the game is meeting the inhabitants of the island. And they are not defined in the game. They will be created by you as you go. Like you'll encounter them multiple times and each time you'll add a little more information about them. You'll start by just describing kind of what they look like from a distance. Like how, you know, are they really tall? Are they really short? Like, do they have any strange features? Eventually you'll get to the point of like developing what sort of strange abilities they might have, like little magical things that they can do or things that they're very good at. And you'll eventually be invited to the community and make one of them into a friend of yours who accompanies you on your explorations on the island. So, and because of that, you can, you know, you can play that creation of the inhabitants differently every time. There's random tables to roll on, or you can just pick the thing that kind of appeals to you at the moment. When you're playing that version, you know, that go around. So there's a lot of ways to vary the experience. And then of course, you know, as we are all humans and have memory that kind of fails us eventually. You know, if you set the game aside for a while and come back to it down the road, you'll forget some of the specifics of the game. And so I think there's, it's certainly not the infinite replayability of a typical RPG, but there's quite a bit to it.
Yeah, 90 encounters is quite a bit to it just on its own. So it sounds like you're not, the encounters are separate from the inhabitants that you're meeting. So can you talk a little bit more about the encounters? Like what will they encounter? Is that completely up to the player?
The encounters are, well, basically it works like this. There's a bunch of different things you can do on the island. You can scavenge the shipwreck to find gear that's useful. You can create protections for your camp, which are ways, those are things that'll help you to deal with some of the problems that you might encounter on the island, like curses. And you can eventually, you know, start meeting the inhabitants as well. And then like one of the big things you can do is go explore the island. And when you go to explore the island, you roll percentile dice. You've got 100 different results. If you roll doubles, you encounter the inhabitants and you go to that segment and you eventually get through multiple inhabitant encounters. And then if you roll any of the other 90, then that's what takes you to all these other little explorations. And each of those is written up on a page. There's usually about 3 per page. So there's like a little bit of prose that kind of describes what the situation is, what your character encounters. And then there's the twist of like, okay, well, what's the problem? What's the challenge to be overcome? And then there's some dice rolling and then a description of, success and failure and what happens. And then some of the explorations are just like, well, you gain this thing or you lose this thing. Like just something happens. But in some cases, a lot of cases, you'll be making trait checks.
Very cool. I mean, I was sold at shipwreck. I was actually sold with the art, but the shipwreck sounds, being able to explore the island sounds very cool as well. Backing up briefly, because I didn't ask you about this, how does character creation work for a solo RPG? Well, how does character creation work for this RPG, but also how do you think that differs, if at all, from like 2 or more player RPGs?
Well, it's very similar to a traditional RPG in this game. You've got 4 traits that kind of cover everything that you're going to do. There's discover, interact, learn, and survive. And so everything that you do kind of centers around those things. When you create a character, you'll have a certain number of points that you can assign across those 4. And then you'll also have some points to spread to 3 other scores that basically function like a track. You've got worry, wonder, and willpower. And worry kind of represents like how apprehensive you are about being on this mysterious island. Wonder is like how wowed you are by everything that you see. And then willpower is your inner reserve of just kind of getting it done, doing with whatever you need to do to be successful at what you're trying to do. And each of those is like a currency, a resource that you can spend. So there's different things that you can spend worry and wonder and willpower on. And that's the bulk of the character creation. And then you've got gear and things that you can find, and there's magical stuff and all that sort of thing.
I like wonder. All of them are good actually, but wonder specifically, I'm not sure that I've come across that in another game. So I really like that one. I know that you, although we're not joined by them today, I know that you have a co-designer. Do you want to talk a little bit about the role they played in creating the game?
Shireen Gilchrist, on Twitter, she's Mad Fishmonger. I've known Shireen for a few years, and she's written a little bit for each of the 3 supplements for Capers, which is kind of my flagship game. She wrote for Capers Noir and Covert and Offworld. And when I got going on this and realized kind of, wow, I'm going to have like 90 encounters to write. When am I going to start repeating myself or just like not breaking out of my particular mindset of like what these encounters could be? There's going to come a point where I'm going to hit a wall and think, oh, I'm just going to start like kind of doing the same thing. So I figured I should get somebody involved to help write all of that. And so I developed the rule set and kind of the basics of the game. We talked through a lot of it, Shireen and I, when I invited her to co-design, and we kind of hashed out the details of all of the kind of rule stuff. And then when we wrote the explorations, she wrote 2/3 of them. You know, of the 90, 60 of them are all her, you know, just with, you know, editing and development that went into them, but they're all pretty much her ideas. And there's plenty of encounter ideas that she came up with that I would have never come up with. They just, like, my brain doesn't work that way. Sure. So Shireen was heavily involved, and it's been a while since I collaborated on a project to this extent, rather than just kind of providing an assignment for a freelancer. And it was a lot of fun. We had a great deal of fun with it. There were periods of time where we were kind of like in daily contact, mm-hmm. as we were kind of slowly building out encounters. And we had this big Google document outline of like, okay, here's all the explorations. Here's what the target numbers, you know, kind of spread is. We want to kind of make sure that there's hard ones and easier ones. And we want to make sure that you have a chance to gain all the magical blessings that there are, but you also have a chance to gain the curses. We had to account for every little thing that we had. So there's this big, ugly outline that I'm sure she got tired of looking at because she had to deal with it twice as much as I did. From having to do 60 of the encounters, and you know, she developed the outline too. Like basically, she laid out like what the encounters and everything would be, and we talked about stuff and made tweaks, but she developed a lot of that. So it's been a lot of fun. She's co-credited, you know, credited as co-designer for this game, certainly.
Yeah, what inspired this game? well, I'm so curious. I have not played all of your other games, but I am familiar with them, and this seems different unless I'm missing something. So I'm curious.
It's very different.
Yeah.
The game came out of like three things. First was, you mentioned the artwork. Mm-hmm. The art is actually where it started. The art is by a woman named Gemma, who she's at Ashen Wave on Twitter. You can check out her artwork. And she draws this really beautiful, colorful, lots of saturated colors, lots of vibrancy, and really kind of fantastical stuff, just purely out of her imagination. Like, she's not doing fan art or work to order or anything like that. It's just like whatever strikes her. And she's done a lot of it. And I came across her artwork a couple of years ago and just started following her on Twitter. And as I started seeing more and more of the artwork, I thought, there's a game in here somewhere. Like, I just have to come up with the idea for a game that embraces, you know, for which this artwork would be ideal.
Yeah.
And about a year ago, I approached her, asked her if she'd be interested in licensing her artwork for a game. Should I come up with that idea? She said, yes, absolutely. And then, you know, another year or whatever passed. My friend Derek Kamal, who designed Heavy Metal Thundermouse, ran a Kickstarter earlier this year for a solo game called The Broken Cask, which is where you play a tavern owner in like a fantasy world, and you run your tavern and deal with guests and send adventurers out on quests and things.
Nice.
And I was like, ooh, solo game. This is interesting. I kind of dug into it. And Kamal, Derek and I got talking about it, and I learned a little bit more about what he was doing with it. And I thought, that'd be, you know, like a great challenge. I'd like to make a solo game like that. And the initial thought I had, cause I had been bouncing around, that's the second idea, right? Yeah. The third thing, was I had been bouncing around the idea of doing something kind of, inspired by Lost, the TV show, with like this mysterious island, right?
Yeah.
And so the initial inception of Secrets of the Vibrant Isle was for something more like Lost, where it was going to be kind of foreboding and like there's like strange people on this island that are out to get you, and all mystery, you know, constant mysteries. And while I was pondering that in my head, one day in Twitter, I came across some more of Gemma's artwork and said, wait a second, no, like let's make this light and friendly.
Yeah.
and use this really colorful artwork. And that's where the game came from.
I recently started a writing assignment for a board game, and it's the first time that I've done a writing assignment where I am sent artwork and I have to create the story based on the artwork. And it is really fun. And it, I think it accesses like a different part of your creative brain. So I love that you saw this art and followed this art and then made a whole game and stayed true to it, right? Because you kept it light instead of going dark, you know, based on the art. So I love that. I love that you did that.
There's dark bits, but right. You know, the idea is that it is this kind of fantastic, bright, cheery island with all this wonderful stuff. But there's a little bit of, you know, because she does, Gemma does use, you know, blues and dark greens and purples and in some of the artwork. So, it worked really well. And once I latched onto the idea of like it being this lost like island, but let's keep it kind of a little lighter and happy and use this artwork, like it just, the ideas just started rolling.
Very cool.
Hey, Amber.
Hey, Kenny.
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
If you're going to come up with a new color of magic, what color would it be and what would the symbol be?
Mustard and a vape.
Oh, nice. Good answer. One of many that you can hear if you listen to Red Mage, Blue Mage, our Magic the Gathering podcast that you can find on the Geekspective Network.
Yeah, we talk all sorts of fun stuff, like we design cards, and we make up cards that represent us, and we talk about us.
And we actually play against each other. So if you like watching YouTube videos and Twitch streams of people playing Magic, and you can't get enough, and you're on your commute, you can just listen to us play Magic. It's fun.
So you can find that on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts now, and other major platforms. And also, we have it up on YouTube as well.
That's true. And you can tweet at us. We're at RedBlueMTG. We hope to see you there. Twink!
I've seen some of the artwork on your Twitter page. I'm assuming, well, I shouldn't assume. Is there more artwork that will be released during the Kickstarter?
Oh, more than likely, there will be some reveals of some of the other artwork. There's a handful of pieces that are going to be on the Kickstarter page, and in the video that you'll be able to see. And then, you know, since it's all done, that's the great thing about this is I'm not commissioning the artist to do any work. Yeah. I'll just be able to reveal some of the artwork as the campaign progresses as part of the updates. Because this game, this Kickstarter will be one of those ones where there's not going to be a lot of, or maybe probably any like stretch goals or expansions to what it is. The game is a very specific type thing that runs a certain way, and it has like 100, you know, 100 percentile roll results and 90 explorations. And there's only so many things that could potentially be expanded. Without like really kind of taking the game in a whole nother direction and making it more complex. And so like, you know, one of the things that'll probably happen with Kickstarters is revealing more of the art and maybe seeing some of the explorations so people can get a sense of like what those are going to look like.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because there's so much of it done all the way down to the artwork level. And actually to the point of like, I've done a mock-up of the entire game because I had to give people the whole thing to be able to play test. And you know, it's going to get a proper layout and the mock-up doesn't necessarily look like what the end result will look like. But it's a fully playable PDF with like bookmarks and everything so that you can bounce around to the different pages. And
yeah. Which is not always the case when you take a game
on Kickstarter, right? it can very often be like, well, things are still in editing or there's still two chapters to write or, yeah.
I was going to ask you if you commissioned any specific art, but you are licensing all the art. So it's all of it is artwork that Gemma completed already.
Correct.
I really like that.
So I dug through her entire Twitter feed as far back as I could go. I looked at where, you know, like her Instagram and other places that she posts because she sells prints of stuff too. So I looked at, you know, just looked at everything I could and I just went through and I kind of picked and chose. I was like, okay, here's pieces that are, because also it's an interesting situation because when you're commissioning art, you can get the exact size, right? You can get like, I want a full page piece. I want a half page piece. I want a little piece of spot art. Mm-hmm. And well, I was working with what she had created. And I knew I was going to need full page. I knew I was going to need half page. So I had to think quite a bit about like the whole layout of the book and figure out, okay, where will I have space for a half page? Where will I have space for a full page? Mm-hmm. And find all the right art that will kind of fit the book properly. Yeah. So it was a little bit of a puzzle It was a little bit like playing Tetris with words and pictures, much earlier than I normally would, or right. or the you know layout designer would.
Right. Speaking of physical book, are you doing a PDF only? Will it be a physical book and a PDF? Do you not want to share that information yet?
No, it'll be a PDF and a soft cover book. It'll be print on demand through DriveThruRPG for the soft cover. But I'm working very hard to make sure that the PDF, will be very playable. The idea being that you could have the PDF open on your computer screen. You could have the character sheet, have that be a form fillable PDF. So you can write down all the stuff and checkbox things and everything. And then the book, the game PDF will be bookmarked for all the major sections. And then there'll be even links on pages too, where it says like, well, you encounter this thing, go to page. It'll be like really kind of like how Choose Your Own Adventure was, where it told you what page to go to. And that page number is a link and will take you right to that page.
Very cool.
So there's going to be a lot of care and time and probably experimentation into making sure that the PDF is very playable and it allows you to play the game like on your tablet or computer, because I can see this game being really good for people who are, you know, waiting for the airplane to arrive, or they're taking they're in the passenger seat of a car and they're just driving somewhere, or they've got, you know, they're sitting in a waiting room somewhere. They can, and the game can be broken up into pieces. You don't have to play it straight through in 2 hours. You can, mm-hmm. you know, play it to a certain, you know, you can play for half an hour and just kind of bookmark where you're at and come back to it later.
That's a nice piece about solo RPGs, I think, that allow for that you can bookmark and come back later, much like you would a good book or even like a session of a regular RPG that you're going to play multiple times, right? You get that pausing point. So I know you mentioned that the game uses percentile dice. Is there anything else the player needs to get started other than the game, the PDF or the physical copy and the dice?
The explorations are done with percentile dice. All the trait check sort of things are done with D10s. So you can play the whole game with just two D10s.
Nice. That's convenient.
And, for those people who are playing it online, you can find a dice roller that'll roll one or two D10s or do percentile dice pretty easy. There's like the dice rolling isn't weird where you would have a hard time finding like the right roller app. So pretty straightforward.
It does. I don't play a lot of solo RPGs. I have play tested for friends solo RPGs more than I've like purchased and play them on my own. So I'm not extremely familiar with what's out there, but I really like the way this one sounds. I like that you can have exploration. I like that you can make a friend.
Yeah.
That's a really cool piece. Is there a chance that the inhabitants won't become your friend, or is that part of the light piece where you can always have a companion in the game?
It's built into the game that's kind of part of the win condition, really, is to befriend the inhabitants, to kind of integrate into their community and get to know them, and develop them in the process, because you're really world building them as you play. And then there's other companions and things that you can come across that will help you. And there's also what are called in the game nuisances, which is like this creature starts following you around and messing with you until you can find a way to get rid of them.
That's fun. Is it an already created creature?
Yeah. Those other ones are already created because they have very specific, detrimental effects that they bring to the table. You know, there's one, for example, that like it hangs around at your camp, and every day that let me double check that. Did I change that? Things got play tested.
Which version game am I referring to in my memory?
The time spider. There's a mechanic in the game for you to be able to return to a location. So like if you go to a location and you don't manage to succeed at the thing you're trying to do, you can make a note of what encounter number that is. And you can only do it so many times. But the time spider, if you choose to return to a location that you've been to before, you have to spend two actions instead of one. Like the spider like confuses you and makes it take longer for you to go back there. And the number of actions and days that you have is you're on a deadline to prove to the island and the inhabitants that you belong there. So you're trying to get all of this done in a prescribed amount of time. So anything that eats up your time is detrimental.
Very cool. And I know you also mentioned magical items or armor or things like that. Is there one example that you can share with us? I'm really interested in what those look like.
Sure. Well, I did them as blessings and curses, which is your character gains access to these things. So they're not physical items, but they're magical effects that you can make manifest. The curse just hits you and you have to deal with it until you can get rid of it. Yeah. Let's see. What is one of the blessings? There's a rune sword, which can translate runes. And there's different spots in the game where that is helful. And then it also gives you a +2 to survive checks because it's a big freaking sword.
I love that.
Oh yeah. So it helps you. It helps you, you know, deal with any nasty things that you come across on the island. There's also golden wings.
Ooh.
Gives you a +2 to discover because you can survey things more easily, and also allows you to fly to get up to places. And like runes and high are both in the game. They're keywords that are called out. Like you've got equipment or blessings that can help you to do these things. And then when you're in certain explorations, if you are able to do those things, they sometimes allow you to bypass something or mm-hmm. to automatically gain something without having to make a trait check, because like you don't have to decipher the runes if you have the rune sword that just does it for you.
Right. So I do want to ask you, I know we talked a little bit about the Kickstarter. I do want to ask you to share anything else you'd like to about that. But first, I know you mentioned that your flagship game is Capers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that the first game that you designed?
No. The first one was Murders and Acquisitions, it's about beating people up in an office. Like that's the version of it. It's set in a kind of over the top, tongue in cheek corporate world where it's all very, you know, dog eat dog. So you're vying for whatever you can get in this corporation by whatever means necessary. And then Capers is the second game that I designed, and that's about superpowered gangsters in the Roaring Twenties.
Oh, I don't think I've played Capers yet. How have I missed this? Okay, can you tell me a little bit more about Capers? I know we're here to talk about Secret of Vibrant Isles, but I'd like to hear a little more about Capers because I haven't played it somehow.
Sure. It's set in the 1920s. Prohibition is in effect in the United States. Alcohol is illegal. And you are playing gangsters who are, you know, trying to get rich off of the fact that the United States government did an incredibly stupid thing and made alcohol illegal. Because historically, it was a terrible thing to do. It is responsible for the rise of organized crime in the country. You get to play the kind of anti-hero, you know, like it, you know, the idea is that it's more of, you know, you're playing the romanticized version of the gangster from like, you know, mm-hmm. 30s and 40s and 50s movies, not like really the, you know, honest to goodness, like what these people were like, because most of them were murdering thugs. But you have superpowers. Superpowers have arisen in the world. They're kind of street level superpowers, not like no one's going to turn the earth backwards on its axis or mind control an entire city or anything like that. But you've got access potentially to these. You can also play a regular person without powers. And the game uses a playing card mechanic that's sort of a card flipping, press your luck, sort of a gamble. Like every trait check is a little bit of a gamble. You're flipping cards and deciding whether you're going to keep the card you have or go to the next card, in which case you lose the previous card. So you might end up getting a better flip, but you might also end up failing.
So no dice, just playing cards.
All playing cards.
Is it like your standard deck of poker playing cards?
Yeah, standard deck of cards with two jokers, the good joker and the bad joker.
Oh, what do the good joker and bad joker do?
The good joker basically is like a ramped up version of an ace. It does like you get an extra action and it's basically you're successful at whatever it is you were trying to do. And it's as good of a success as you can get. And then the bad Joker is you fail at whatever you're trying to do. You suffer a complication and your turn ends immediately and you can't spend any of your moxie points to do anything else. There's like nothing you can do. Like your turn is done.
And how many, talking about the setup, like how many players is it for? What's the play time? This sounds like a really fun game.
Well, Capers is kind of a, you know, a fairly traditional RPG. So a GM with multiple players. I've played it with as few as two people. Actually, I've played it. I've done demos with one. I imagine you could probably play a game with one player just fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it works. I personally think it works best at like 3 to 5 players. I've run sessions that have told a complete story in 2 hours. But, you know, like 3 or 4 maybe is more typical for most groups.
So your other games, are they all card-based or have you done both?
Capers is the only one that's card-based, although there's multiple supplements that take the game to different time periods and kind of progress the world of the game. So, but there's other games that are, you know, I design a lot of games that roll D6s, like you roll pools of D6s. That's pretty common. Die Laughing is all D6s where your dice pool is diminishing as you play. Good Strong Hands and Nowhereville that's going to be fulfilled very soon. Is all a D6 system where you're rolling multiple D6s for versus target numbers and trying to get at least one of the dice to hit that. So, I have yet to do anything in the D20 system realm or, you know, like Powered by the Apocalypse or Blades in the Dark or any of those things. But I'm a sucker. I like to design my own system specific to the game. One of these days, the challenge will hit me, be like, oh, I've got a great idea for a Powered by the Apocalypse game or a Blades in the Dark style game or whatever. And then I'll dive into that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any ideas already brewing or just a future challenge?
I don't have anything specific brewing at the moment, but there's almost certainly gonna, you know, I'm gonna use Fate or one of those systems, Savage Worlds or something at some point. I'll hit a game and be like, ooh, this would be perfect for this system.
Yeah.
It's just a question of when I get that. You know, it took me 2 years to find the right game for the artwork. It might take another 2 years to find the right game for a particular published system.
I took us on a tangent, of course, to bring us back to Secret of Vibrant Isles. Can you share a little bit about the Kickstarter?
The Kickstarter launches on Tuesday, October 5th. It'll run for a month. Because again, of the nature of the game and how it's kind of a self-contained thing that is kind of the length that it is, I'm keeping it very simple. There is one backer tier, and that's $15 that gets you the PDF, and you'll ultimately get a link to purchase the soft cover at cost, which will be super cheap because it's a soft cover. And then, you know, and that'll come with the, you know, you'll get the form fillable character sheet as well, so you'll have everything you need to be able to play, minus the dice or pencils if pencils are the direction that you go. So yeah, very straightforward. And there'll be add-ons. You'll be able to pick up some of the other games.
Oh, you're gonna do add-ons.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I've got offset print run games of copies of Good Strong Hands and Capers both that are sitting in a warehouse for the last year and a half because of COVID and no conventions. So yep. I've got these big piles of books that are just like, I should have sold 100 of these in the last year. So yeah, I'll be getting some of that stuff up on as add-ons at a little discount, and you'll just have to, you know, you'll have to deal with shipping, of course. But for those people who are new and, you know, never saw the games before, or who can't make it to conventions where you can otherwise buy these nice offset print run copies, you can get them through the Kickstarter.
Perfect. Well, I just said I wanted to pick up Capers and now I know how to do that. So thank you. And the Kickstarter is going to run for about 30 days. Is that right?
Yep.
Great. And folks, if you're listening to this the day that it drops, the Kickstarter will be coming out tomorrow. But even if you're not, as long as you're listening to it during the month of October, you can find the link to the Kickstarter in our show notes. So please go check that out. back it, tell your friends, share it on Twitter and all social medias. Craig, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a blast talking with you, not only about Secret and Vibrant Isles, but all your other wonderful games. So if you don't mind telling folks where they can find you, that would be great.
Sure. I'm at Nerdburger Craig on Twitter. The company website is nerdburgergames.com. And you can go to drivethroughrpg.com to buy the games. But if you're thinking about any of the of these other games, make sure to check out the Kickstarter in case you're looking for this, and check out the add-ons because you're going to get better deals. And in the case of two of the games, like a really nice book, not, you know, print on demand is good, but offset print run is better, sturdier, tougher book.
Hey, Amber here. I would like to thank you so much for listening to Tabletop Babble, Tabletop Crowd, and Tabletop Spotlight, all the tabletop things that we have going on here lately. For show news, announcements, updates, and all that jazz, you can follow us on Twitter at Tabletop Babble. Also, it would be really, really helpful if you left us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help the show out a lot. Anyway, thanks again, and we'll see you next time.